Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Man, this is amazing. He just is overwhelmed. Who can believe this report? Who can see the power of God in this and understand this? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Again, if we would have been God coming to this earth, we would have come down in some majestic way. We would have landed on a space shuttle. We would have done something that would have wowed the people. We would have shown them all the technology and done all of these things. Jesus grew up as a little baby, born to poor parents. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable. Exactly opposite the way that most of us would have done. We would proclaim our own goodness, our own glory. Jesus came humbly. He was meek. He said of himself, "I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." God is not the way that God has been represented. He's a humble, he's a meek God. That's amazing. Jesus came down. He grew up like a plant. Just like any other plant, out of dry ground. He didn't come to the palace. He didn't come to the most famous place. He grew up in obscure deals, surroundings, situations. This is amazing. He hath no form or comeliness. You know what that's talking about? He's not the greatest specimen. If I would have been God coming to this earth, I guarantee you, there would have never been a man like me. I would have been Hercules. I would have been the strongest, biggest, best. Jesus didn't have a form. He was not a great person to look at. And when it says there's no comeliness, that means beauty. Jesus wasn't a pretty person. Jesus wasn't a beautiful person. He was plain. And you know, this is all. Jesus didn't only suffer on the cross, which I'm not trying to minimize that, but Jesus suffered in just coming to this earth, in just being a man. For God Almighty to limit himself to a body and enter into a body and have to be in one place at one time, that was a huge constraint upon God. And to be walking by people, just think of the people. There's hundreds of people in this room. If Jesus was here according to this, you know, Jesus could walk up and down these aisles and he could have been your creator and you would have just not even noticed him. Jesus walked past people, bumped into people. People probably came into the carpenter shop and bought materials and stuff and didn't even know that the person that was working on their table was their creator. Think what that would be like to live 30 years and see all of this and not, these people don't even know who you are. You see people dying around you. And it's not time for your ministry yet. You came to destroy him that had the power of death, and yet you sit and watch people die. You watch anger and bitterness. You watch the Romans brutalize the Jews, and you do all of this stuff, and it's not your time. And you just sit there knowing that you could change all of this. Man, Jesus suffered for 30 years living in this physical body. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should be desiring him. Jesus was not a desirable person, just in the physical, outward person. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Jesus didn't suffer because of his sin, because he had done something wrong. Jesus suffered your shame, my shame. He was afflicted for us. Jesus' heart was broken. It says in John chapter 11, verse 35, that Jesus wept. He didn't just have a tear roll down his eye. He wept. Not for his own grief, but for the grief of Mary and Martha and his friends. Jesus bore our sorrows and carried our grief. I tell you, I just don't. Once you see this, it's hard for you to sit there and indulge your feelings. And say, but look what they've done to me. Look what I've suffered. Look at the pain that I've had. And I'm not denying that we have pain. But when you see what Jesus has suffered, it makes what you're suffering really inconsequential. Jesus has already borne it. And if Jesus has borne it, I'm not going to bear it. I'm not going to grieve. And yet there's many people that think, well, I've got to grieve. No, you don't. Jesus bore your sorrows and carried your grief. If Jesus bore it, I'm not going to bear it. In verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This isn't only talking about spiritually, emotionally. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 quotes this verse and says, he bore our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. This is talking about physical healing. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. That means that he wasn't imprisoned. He wasn't given a fair trial. It was totally unjust, everything that happened unto him. And who shall declare his generation? Contrary to the Da Vinci Code, he never had any children. That's what this is talking about. He never had any children. Anytime anybody starts with a premise like that, you ought to write Ichabod over the whole thing and throw it out. Shame on you if you bought the book and paid that guy for that perverseness. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Boy, what a great prophecy. What a specific prophecy. All of these things, there are some amazing things said. Who could believe that God would be marred more than any man and didn't even look human? Who would believe that he wouldn't have any form or comeliness, that we wouldn't esteem him? How could this is hard to wrap your brain around. But here's a prophecy that in his death, he's going to die with the wicked and with the rich. How do you get something like that fulfilled? Well, the way it happened was he was crucified with thieves, the wicked, and yet a rich man gave him his tomb to be buried in, Joseph of Arimathea. This is such a specific prophecy. Man, this shows you the inspiration of the Word of God. It shows you that this is not a human book. This is God-breathed. It's inspired. Hundreds of years before the fact. It even talks about over there in Psalms chapter 22. I didn't read all of those verses, but it says that they were going to gamble. They'll cast lots for my cloak. And they tore all of Jesus' garments except his outer cloak. And it was an expensive cloak that was woven without seam. And so instead of tearing it and defiling it, they cast lots for it and fulfilled Psalms chapter 22 that was written, I don't know, nearly 1,000 years before. Man, the Word of God is inspired. In verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord. I don't believe that this means that God actually got pleasure out of Jesus' suffering, but it was the only way to bring God's judgment to an end. God was holy. God was just. Sin had to be judged, and he didn't want you to suffer for your sin. And so it was the only way, and therefore it was pleasing to God. It was acceptable to God. This was his plan, was to send his only son. God so loved the world that he gave us his son, and he died for us. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Notice it says that when he sees the travail of his soul, he will be pleased. You don't have to travail. You don't have to bear your sin. You don't have to bear your shame. Jesus bore it for you. In the Old Testament, when people came before the Lord and they brought an offering, The priest would stand there and they would hold the lamb. And the priest would examine the lamb. And according to the scripture, he had to be without blemish. He couldn't have any cuts. He couldn't have any bruises. He couldn't be deformed in any way. It had to be a perfect specimen. And when you brought a lamb, the priest would always examine the sacrifice to see if it was without blemish. They didn't examine the person that brought the sacrifice. They didn't ask you, have you been living holy? Have you been doing this? Have you done all of this? No, the very fact that you had a sacrifice in your hand meant that there was some unholiness in you. The priest doesn't examine you. The priest examines the sacrifice. And the sacrifice had to be without blemish. He sees the travail of his soul and he's satisfied because the sacrifice bore your sins. And when the priest would offer those sacrifices, they would lay their hands upon the head of the animal. And you know what that was symbolic of? They would put their weight on this. They would transfer their weight to this animal, symbolic that you were putting your sins into this animal. And then they'd slit the throat of that animal. And that animal would suffer what you were supposed to suffer. In Hebrews, it reveals that no animal could ever truly bear the sins of people. They were only symbolic. But Jesus wasn't symbolic. He drew all wrath unto himself. Every bit of God's wrath against you was put on Jesus. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you understand, if the Holy Spirit would help you to get a revelation of what I'm talking about, the only appropriate response to this is that you ought to give your life to God and spend the rest of your days serving Him and loving Him and thanking Him. This shouldn't free you to go live in sin. If you're thinking, oh, this is great. He took all my sins so I can go live like the devil. You've never been born again. You're religious. You're deceived. You're headed to hell. If you're looking for an excuse to sin, if you're trying to figure out how I can get by with doing a little bit more, how little do I have to give, you ought to be born again.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to join me on our website. And I tell you, it is one of the best websites available. We have so much material for you. Hundreds of my teachings are available as free downloads. You can watch over 8 years of these television programs. You can watch or listen to about 12 years, I think it is, of radio programs. Also, my living commentary is on there, and you can get a sample of that and sign up for that. I tell you, I'm really excited about that. There's just so many ways that you could be blessed. And I think it'd be a blessing to you. So please join us on the web at awmi.net.